This weekend, the Des Moines Symphony is presenting their Simon Sings Porgy and Bess. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom for IPR's iWart Showcase. Simon Sings Porgy and Bess means Simon Estes sings Porgy and Bess. And in to share the inside scoop on this concert, Simon Sings Porgy and Bess, is the Des Moines Symphony's maestro, Joseph Junta. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Jacqueline.
You are bringing in internationally acclaimed bass baritone and Iowa native Simon Estes, and it's so exciting to have him on the stage again.
Yeah, he's a remarkable man and a remarkable musician, and at 81 years old, he's still singing strong, he's quite healthy, and I'm always excited about him. I think this is maybe the 20th or 21st time that we have worked together with the Des Moines Symphony, and it's always a special moment when I get to work with Simon Estes.
And you're also bringing in some guest vocalists who are going to be joining you on this performance as well.
We are. The female counterpart to Simon Sings Porgy and Bess is Janice Chandler Etema. Janice is a wonderful soprano who will be singing Porgy and Bess with Simon. And then in the Chichester Psalms of Bernstein that we're doing with a Nordic choir from Luther College, the boy soprano, his name is Anthony Petrokonis, and Anthony is someone I auditioned in St. Paul last year, and we're delighted that he can sing that beautiful second movement that Bernstein specifically said should be a boy soprano.
So let's hear about the opening work, this festive overture.
Yeah, this is the only actually all-instrumental work on this program. The rest of the pieces involve the human voice, which is something that's a little unusual for us in Des Moines. Des Moines has so many wonderful churches, places of worship, with some wonderful music programs and choirs, so we don't often get to do, you know, a program like this. But we're opening with the fabulous Shostakovich Festive Overture. And I love doing this piece because it shows a side of Shostakovich that not many people know. It's a very conservative piece. It's full of fanfares and joy and celebration. And that certainly is a piece that's reminiscent of the time that it was written. It was written in the 1950s. And, of course, this is after Stalin had died, and it was it was the time in Russia when every single artist, whether you were a poet or a writer, author, sculptor, painter, or a musician, breathed a sigh of relief because they finally felt that they could, it was a more tolerable artistic climate, and musicians and artists could finally write what they wanted to write and not be afraid that they were going to make one of the political administrators mad and get a one-way ticket to Siberia or something. So this is a terrific piece of music. As I said, it's flamboyant and joyful, and it's the perfect way to open a concert.
And then tell us about this Bernstein piece. And this is not often performed, so it's great to hear it.
Yeah, this is as part of our year-long celebration to the 100th anniversary of Leonard Bernstein. We're doing Chichester Psalms. Now, Chichester Psalms is not performed, as you said, very much anymore, but it was written in 1965 for the Chichester Cathedral Festival in Sussex, England. And Bernstein actually was music director of the Philharmonic in New York from 1958 to 1968. And in 1964-5 season, he took a sabbatical off primarily to write a Broadway show. He had an idea that he was going to collaborate with Jerome Robbins, and there was a book that Betty Compton and Adolph Green had written. So he was going to write this wonderful Broadway show during that year. But unfortunately, I think two things happened. He was, as I think most of your listeners know, a very good friend of President John Kennedy and his wife, Jackie. And after President Kennedy was assassinated, and then he had a very good friend in composer Mark Blitzstein. Blitzstein was murdered in New York. And after those two tragic events happened, it sent Bernstein spinning into sort of a depression. And so he really had difficulty. The music didn't come very easy to him then. And I know he referred to himself in a letter that he wrote to a friend at the time as a composer without a project. But around late 1964, he received a letter from Reverend Hussey, who was the dean of the Cathedral of Chichester in Sussex, and wanted a piece for his festival for chorus and orchestra. And Bernstein got himself together and wrote one of the most hopeful and life-affirming pieces you'll ever hear.
And this has some really unusual settings in it, so tell us about those.
It does. The first movement is set to the Psalm 108, which begins quite triumphantly and proceeds into a dance, like a 7/4 meter that's quite lovely, and then followed by a very gentle setting of Psalm 23, which is, of course, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it follows with this boy soloist with harp accompanist in the second movement. It's absolutely lovable and likable, much like a musical evocation, I think, of King David, the shepherd psalmist. And he also uses the second psalm, which is, of course, the one that Handel wrote in his Messiah, "Why Do Nations Rage?" It interrupts that calmness, and it creates sort of one of the most dramatic points of the composition. And then the third movement, the final movement, begins with a really dissonant elegy that's played only by the strings, which is magnificent. The orchestra then gets a little quiet, and then maybe the most beautiful part of the piece happens with Psalm 131. It's a beautiful lullaby in the unusual 10/4 time, and the very end of it is Psalm 133, which ends the piece in a very traditional Lutheran-style a cappella choral writing. So there's nothing like it in the repertoire. It's very unique. It's only 20 minutes long, but when you're listening to it, you're just marvel at the genius and how the pacing works. And, of course, it's sung in Hebrew, which that wonderful language, that all the ebbs and flows that it has, is just perfect for this piece. And it's something that I really have enjoyed studying and always enjoy conducting. I don't think, Jacqueline, that there's a piece that I know that shows a composer's spirit and faith in humanity and innocence, youth, joyful, melodic, humble. You know, all these things are connected, but ultimately this piece is an urgent request for peace in the world, and that's why I think it's so effective. Audiences seem to really relate to it, and I know it's going to be a great performance with this wonderful choir from Luther College.
And who is the Luther College director?
His name is Dr. Andrew Last. Andrew actually was a student in the choir, a graduate of Luther College, and many years ago when the Nordic Choir came down to sing with the Des Moines Symphony, during Weston Noble's days, Andrew was a member of the choir then. So it comes full circle for him in that he's coming back to Des Moines, this time as the director of the famed Nordic Choir.
And tell us just briefly about the boy soprano.
He's terrific. He sung this with the Minnesota Orchestra, and he actually performed it last winter with the Nordic Choir on their campus at Luther College in Decorah. He's a wonderful young man and very mature for his age, and I think this beautifully pure angelic voice is just perfect for this piece, and I think if Bernstein was alive today, he would be very pleased at hearing Mr. Petrokounis.
And tell us about the magnificent last work that's going to polish off the concert.
Well, you know, whenever you get a chance to work on the music of George Gershwin, it's always a pleasure. This is a pretty special piece. This, of course, may be the greatest American opera ever that was composed by Gershwin. And, of course, the libretto by Hayward and the lyricist was his brother, Ira Gershwin. I love the piece, and it was interesting that it has become so famous because when it was premiered in Boston in 1935, it was quite controversial, primarily because of the racially charged storyline. All African-American cast, of course, that had not been done before, and 1935 was a different time than it is today. And so it took a while before it became popular and has since gone on to become, of course, I think the most popular opera ever. And as the years have evolved since 1935, many orchestras have hired orchestrators to do concert versions of various operas and musical comedies. And Robert Russell Bennett was an American composer, but mostly known for his arranging. And he did many concert versions of Broadway shows by people like Irving Berlin or Jerome Kern, Cole Porter, and of course Gershwin. So in 1956, Bennett was asked to produce a concert version of Porgy, and that's the one we're doing today. We're doing about 30 minutes of it, and of course all the big hits from that piece. And I'm so thrilled to work with the renowned baritone bass Simon Estes and, of course, the wonderful soprano Janice Chandler Etteme.
And what are some of the hit tunes that people can enjoy?
Well, we're going to do Summertime and I Got Plenty of Nuttin' and It Ain't Necessarily So. So it'll be a great program for everyone.
So how can folks get more info and tickets?
Tickets are available through the Civic Center box office anytime, either prior to the concert or, of course, days before. And also information is always available on our website, which is dmsymphony.org.
And the concerts are this weekend, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., Sunday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. at the Civic Center of Greater Des Moines. And you also have a pre-concert talk, I believe?
We do. Arlene DeVries, our person that talks about the music, will be there an hour before each performance.
IPR thanks today goes to IPR's John Pemble, Phil Moss, and Alexis Hahn. And, of course, a big thanks to Maestro Junta. And thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jacqueline.